Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Friday morning, July the 10th. We've got a heck of a lineup for you today. We're going to visit with Dr. Gil Hebert, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Tulane University, talk about Ozempic, Mounjaro, and other GLP-1 drugs. New research suggests that these drugs may also affect the brain's reward and impulse control systems. What does this mean for patients, and could these medications have many more uses than just weight loss? Don Dubuque's going to join us at the top of the noon hour, former WWL radio outdoor show host, and we're going to talk about black bears, sightings on the North Shore, sightings throughout the state. What does it mean, and what's going on relative to black bears, and what should you do if you encounter one? Pat Connick's going to join us at the top of the hour in 11 o'clock. He's a Louisiana State Senator. We'll discuss his proposed legislation to separate the Southeast Louisiana Flood Protection Authority East Police Department from the levee authority. And he'll talk about why he is motivated to do so. At 11:30, we'll go to open lines. We want to hear from you. Anything that you want to talk about, more importantly, if there's something that we said or did or talked about during this week, give us a shout at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We set aside that time for you, and hopefully we'll hear from you at 11:30. Mary Beth Romig, Associate Vice President, New Orleans & Company, will join us to discuss the significance of New Orleans being named the only entire city on the World Monuments Fund's inaugural Irreplaceable America list and what that designation means for the city's cultural heritage and tourism. Almost every day this week, we've had a monologue about this indictment of the Attorney General Liz Murrell, and I don't even know how to describe it. There's so many failures to follow the law, and we have the judge, Leon Roche, who's upset because some attorneys have called his court and others a kangaroo court. Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, this is absolutely incredulous what is going on at the present time. And it's amazing what the court minutes actually reveal. And when looking at the court minutes, it speaks volumes about judges on the criminal district court that have little to no idea what they're doing. And it seems as though they're very cavalier about it, and they really don't care. Posting of Facebook videos calling out Republicans, the governor, Senator Jay Morris, and more importantly, Laura Cannizzaro-Rodrigue, as though she has part of the legislative process, which I believe is why he ultimately ended up recusing himself, because he knows that that video is going to cause him problems. And if the Judiciary Commission doesn't take action on that video, I don't know what they're doing or what they're thinking about. But this gets even worse, right? So when a district attorney under existing law right now, or let's just say in the month of June, let's assume for a moment this special prosecutor got appointed in June, which almost had to have been the case, if not earlier, because the attorney general was indicted on July the 2nd. The Code of Criminal Procedure article provides the following. When a district attorney is recused or recuses himself, the trial judge shall either appoint an attorney at law who has the qualifications of a district attorney and is not an assistant to the recused district attorney to act in the place of the district attorney in the case, or shall notify the attorney general in writing of the recusation. In the latter instance, it shall be the duty of the attorney general to appoint a member of his staff or a district attorney of another district to act in the place of the recused district attorney. The substitute appointed for the recused district attorney shall have all powers of the recused district attorney with reference to that case. So let's go to the minutes. And let's talk about how also Article 383, which was quoted by the Louisiana Supreme Court of the Code of Criminal Procedure, that an indictment is a written accusation of a crime made by a grand jury. It must be concurred in by not less than 9 of the grand jurors, endorsed a true bill, and the endorsement must be signed by the foreman. Indictment shall be returned into the district court in open court. But when an indictment has been returned for an offense which is within the trial jurisdiction of another court in that parish, the indictment may be transferred to that court. So Judge Roche believes that open court is as long as he's on the bench. But when we go to the minutes, we find something really interesting. We find that the ADA is listed in the minutes of being present during the return of the indictment. That is Abigail McDonald, who is an assistant district attorney to Jason Williams, who has recused himself because he's the victim, one of the listed victims in the indictment of the AG Liz Murrell. Now, when you recuse yourself, you have to sanitize the entire office. No one in the office can participate in the prosecution, in the administration, or anything relative to assisting the grand jury, the return of the grand jury. You're out. Totally. Unless you're in Leon Roche's court. Because you see, in Leon Roche's court, if I have to rely on this public document, this public record, that Abigail McDonald, a member of the recused office of the district attorney, was present. So how does this work? The judge gets to pick and choose who gets to stay in the court while he's in the court and open court? Because he didn't let anybody else in. Everybody else was out. Why would a member of the recused office be allowed to be in? And I'm curious as it relates to who actually did a lot of the prep work and everything else as it relates to Lori White. Because this is the second problem with these minutes out of Judge Roche's court. They have Lori White listed as an assistant district attorney, where Article 682 of the Code of Criminal Procedure says that this person that is appointed is not an assistant to the recused district attorney. So, yeah, I mean, we can't get the simple little ministerial things correct. Now, why is the kangaroo court the appropriate term to be used here? So as it turns out, just to complicate matters even further, this article 682, the appointment of substitute for a recused district attorney of the Code of Criminal Procedure, in the legislative session of 2026 was amended. And it was amended in House Bill 243. So as I was doing my research, I came across the fact that this was amended in this legislative session. And I now know why it was amended, because in this criminal district court, you will recall, under Judge Darrell Durabigny and other judges, we had situations that have been repeated here by Judge Roche. They obviously, no one actually knows what's going on in the other courts of this district court, because they wouldn't do these things. They keep making the same mistakes over and over. And I respectfully suggest that maybe the Louisiana Supreme Court ought to go over there and do a little tutoring so that everybody understands what the law actually is. So it was changed at the insistence of the AG because they kept appointing special prosecutors that were inappropriate. And in the case of Judge Darryl Derbigny, he appointed a special prosecutor, a criminal defense lawyer, not unlike what Leon Roche did, who is actually acting as a prosecutor in a case, but is also defending criminal defendants in the district court, which under Article 5 of the Louisiana State Constitution is prohibited. Pretty simple, straightforward language. You don't have to go through 3 years of law school to figure this out. And you would think that maybe judges would think about that you're on a slippery slope the moment in time you appoint an active criminal defense lawyer to act as a special prosecutor. Just a thought. Just a thought. So, do you think this meets the definition of kangaroo court? We actually amended this statute, Code of Criminal Procedure article, because this has been done over and over again in criminal district court. When are they going to get it? You cannot be a special prosecutor and a criminal defense lawyer at the same time with an active practice in that district court. It just doesn't work. So under the new article, under the new bill, that was adopted and will go into effect in August, you must notify the AG. And the AG decides who is going to be the prosecutor in these cases. Now, that presents a problem with the present set of facts, right? Because now the AG is recused, and I would suspect, and hopefully this is the way that it's going to end up working, the law is silent on it, is that the Louisiana Supreme Court then appoints the special prosecutor. Because we cannot trust some of the judges, not all, some good number of the judges on this bench. This never happens. Never. Never happens. Because they have this thing called common sense. And they seem to exercise that common sense. And it's not just busy work. They do some independent thinking, some reasoned thinking when they make these very important decisions about appointing a special prosecutor. And if Judge Leon Roche doesn't understand by this point in time why people refer to this as being a kangaroo court, I can't help him. I can't help him. The motivations for amending the Code of Criminal Procedure that I thought was good in the first instance, if you had reasoned thinking going on by judges, you know, it shouldn't have had to been amended. But it's amazing how we have to protect ourselves from the incompetence of people that we elect to public office. And that's what's going on here. We're having to protect ourselves from the incompetence of the people that we elect to public office. Plain and simple. So Judge Roche opened court, and he's in the court. And I guess there is a special guest list that maybe somebody should ask him about as to how you get in there, because the assistant district attorney of the recused office, according to the minutes, is present for the return of this indictment. And that shouldn't happen. That office is recused. And the most important folks who should have been in there were obviously members of the media, right? Nothing better than transparency. And, of course, maybe even members of the defense team. instead of handcuffing members of the media and shooing away everybody else. They didn't get on the special list. That is a discretion that this judge does not have. This is a complete breakdown in common sense. We don't care. We don't care. We've been elected to judge. We're the center of the universe now. In fact, we believe that we become smarter than everybody else the moment in time that we remove our hand from the Bible and having taken that oath. But we all know better, don't we? And maybe, just maybe, at some point in time, and I'll call them out. I've called them out before. The Louisiana Supreme Court, the Bar Association, and others. Everybody should be collectively and collaboratively working together to ensure that these judges go to some kind of judicial college to make sure that it is a must, it is a shall, not a may, before they take the bench. That maybe they should shadow another judge for a period of time before they take the bench to gain a better understanding of being on that side of the issue as opposed to the other side, either as a prosecutor and or a criminal defense or civil lawyer. It seems to me it's fast becoming absolutely necessary. A judicial internship program. Because as I said before, it doesn't take a third year law student to figure out what's going on here, and that we're referring to people, allowing people in, doing this, doing that. How is it? I mean, this is really mind-boggling to me. How is it here in 2026 that we have this huge difference of opinion between Judge Roche and a lot of other retired judges and judges about what open court means? Obviously, the Supreme Court has an idea as to what open court means, because that's why they, one of the reasons they said they issued the stay. How is that? How can it be that in 2026 we have not have resolved what open court is? Or if it is resolved, what is a disciplinary action that happens to Judge Leon Roschak? Again, is it simply that we have to rely on the general public to turn out an election and vote someone else? I hope that is not the only solution here. There should be a professional standard that is upheld to protect us from them being folks that just don't get it, don't understand it, have this cavalier attitude. Special prosecutor? You would be perfect for this job, Lori White, as you're defending and appearing in criminal district court in the month of June. Violation of Article 5 of the Constitution. Turns out, according to her Bar Association applications and membership, she lives in Folsom. The DA has to live in the city of New Orleans. That's a difficult concept to grasp, right? Really hard. Doesn't take much due diligence to do that at all, right? You got to figure out what the qualifications are for a DA. You're not an assistant DA. You are the DA. You stand in the shoes of the DA. Now, if I'm standing in the shoes of the DA, and I know that the DA has been recused, when I walk into court and I see members of the district attorney's office present for the return of the grand jury indictment, what do you think would be the smart thing to do? Would be to notify the court that it's probably not a good thing to have a member of the district attorney's office in, especially with the doors closed to everybody else. And everyone's wondering why the Louisiana Supreme Court took this extraordinary, very fast position. Well, we shouldn't be questioning that at all. In fact, to the contrary, we should say that the Louisiana Supreme Court's not doing enough. This is like one mistake after the next, after the next, after the next that's being revealed here as to what's going on. Now, let me say this about this general proposition as it relates to the state and the city. So I started talking to some folks about, you know, what's going on in the bond commission, and I've been hearing for a while that there was going to be some precautionary provisions, if anything was going to be approved for the city of New Orleans as it related to getting bond commission approval, all of which would not be extraordinary, quite frankly. Not extraordinary at all because of the terms and conditions of this loan. Now, it may be something that folks don't like, but I don't find it to be extraordinary. Now, there may be differences of opinion as to whether or not that should be the happenstance. But if anybody believes that elections don't have consequences, if anybody believes that, for example, Governor John Bel Edwards vetoed money going to Republican districts during his 8 years, you don't understand the process. Now, I will say this, knowing what I know about the character of Governor Edwards, I don't think he was comfortable. I don't think he liked it. But the political reality is, and I'm sure someone has compiled a list, of all of the Republican projects and asks over an 8-year term that were vetoed, that came out of a Republican-controlled legislature, right? And if anybody believes for a moment that that didn't happen, you just simply don't understand politics. So this notion of people trying to stand on the moral high ground here is poppycock. And let's get real as it relates to this about elections have consequences. Now, I can totally understand why elected members in New Orleans are upset about it, the same way that Republican elected officials were upset about it during the 8 years of Governor John Bel Edwards. It's the way it works. But don't come with this high and mighty attitude right now and thinking that you're on the moral high ground. Give me a break. We'll be right back. So, folks, the city of New Orleans, that is the entire city, has been named to the Irreplaceable America, a new list from the World Monuments Fund, recognizing 10 historic places across the United States whose preservation is essential to the richness and complexity of American history. And here to talk to us about it is Mary Beth Romig, Associate Vice President at New Orleans and Company. Mary Beth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me to talk about this incredible honor for the city.
Absolutely. And I understand this is the most often the designation is a building or something along those lines.
Right.
But this is the entire city, which is really out of the ordinary. And it's something to be, I guess, for us, incredibly proud of.
Well, I'm so glad you're bringing this to your listeners' attention, because all too often, and I fall victim to this feeling on occasion as well, but we forget what a great city we live in and what a incredible place our city is. And so this is another reminder that people outside of New Orleans really think very, very highly of our great authentic culture and all that New Orleans is and has to offer. So you mentioned that most often it's places or buildings. We're the only city on the list, the only American city to make the list. All the other ones are indeed buildings or historical sites.
They reference our cultural landscape. They talk about the identified neighborhoods, how important that is. We kind of take it for granted. But when you look back in history as to how this neighborhood was developed and why, and that neighborhood was developed and why, you gain a better understanding of why I think, you know, this city was recognized in its totality.
Yeah, and we take great pride in our neighborhoods. I know during the painful aftermath of Katrina, I lived in 70124 at the time, Lakeview, and we used to have shirts that said 70124 ever and all these fond memories of Lakeview growing up as a kid. And I live up in the Pearl now, and there's a lot of civic pride for the residents of the Pearl. So you're right, our neighborhoods really are like a string of pearls that connect the city. And there's a lot of pride of place, if you will. But it also points to our architecture, our culture, and that's our music culture, our food culture. We just have so many different aspects of New Orleans culture that we can celebrate. And, you know, I'm thinking back to a year ago when we worked on the application to get us designated as a UNESCO Cultural City of Music. That's another feather in our cap. And another reason why New Orleans should be on this list and understandable why we made the list. We just have so many aspects of our life here that are special.
And as you guys, that is New Orleans and Company, market this city, and we're in the competition business, I keep saying that over and over again because a lot of folks don't realize the competitive nature of luring people and tourists to your city. This is another great recognition as a tool in the toolbox of New Orleans and Company to market the city, right?
Oh yes, indeed. It's going straight to the top of our what's new in New Orleans and good news about New Orleans that we issue on a monthly basis to keep our clients and people in general informed of why New Orleans is such a significant city. And I really want to offer some hats off to the PRC. And Tulane, yes. Louisiana Landmark Society, the Ella Project. These designations quite often just don't fall into a place or a person's lap. You really have to work hard to gather facts and information and apply and put forth whatever it is you're championing to get selected for such a incredibly special honor. So we'll be touting this for a good long time to come that we made this list. And we'll make another list next week, so we'll keep an eye out for another announcement that's coming. But New Orleans consistently ranks at the top of many lists along with our competitive cities. So we really have to stay on top of our game and keep making New Orleans the special place that it is.
So hats off to Kristen Gisselson Palmer, the executive director of the Preservation Resource Center, who kind of quarterbacked this nomination as together with Tulane and the others that you mentioned. So congratulations to those folks. So while we're Mary Beth, if you don't mind, while we're talking about recognition, we got the whole city recognized. But we got a whole family recognized as well, right?
Oh, my goodness.
The Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation expands its 2026 Hall of Fame class to include the members of the Romick family. Your father, posthumously Jerry Romick, who everyone knows, Mark and Jay, and Mary Beth, who is the smartest of the Romicks, I'm told.
I'm the youngest of the first family, as they like to say, but I don't know that I'm the smartest.
For purposes of this interview, we're just going with that, Mary Beth. And,
okay.
And Jay and Mark are just going to have to get over it. That's all.
Two of the hardest working guys in the city, those two, I tell you. But
yeah,
we're very humble.
Absolutely.
My sweet mother could not be more proud, and it's very humbling, and it's quite a blessing. But we're so privileged to have been raised by my mother and father, and we were raised in a newsman's house and a sportsman's house. So those are the two things we discussed at the kitchen table every night as a family. And now, all these years later, we're being recognized with this great honor, and I'm very humbled.
You know, I've known your brother Jay for a long time, and as I was reading through the write-up, he's been with the New Orleans Saints 50 years.
And yes, it's the only place he's ever worked. Yeah.
I vividly remember when he went on with the Saints, but I'm thinking to myself, 50 years. So I'm having my 50th reunion from high school this year. I said, wow. It's like, that's a long time. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, we call him the vice president of doing things nobody else is willing to do. He is the man.
Hey, you always need someone like that in your organization, right?
I'm telling you. Okay, so Taysom Hill is the Swiss Army knife on the field. Jay Romig is the Swiss Army knife in the front office. He they call upon him to do, or whatever someone needs to do, Jay will get it done. And, you know, both my brothers, I'm incredibly blessed to have two brothers that I have. I also have two sisters, by the way, so I don't want to forget them as well. But I never take for granted a home game when the three of us are up in house controls working together and, you know, cheering on the Saints behind the scenes, but working up in house controls for the home games. It's a honor and a privilege, and I just adore my brothers quite a lot.
So have you participated as a spotter for both your dad and Mark?
Yeah, my dad drafted me back in 1992 when a gentleman who had been a spotter stepped down from doing that work, and knowing what a Saints fan I am and a football fan I was at the time and still have grown even more so to be, he asked me if I wanted to start working the home games with him, and I said yes. And so this coming season will be my 34th year in that role as spotting. So I like to say, wow, I've seen a lot of good football, but I've seen a lot of not so good football. And I have
some
to watch
less than
every single
football,
play.
Right?
You know, I can't look away and hide my eyes, except if it's a game-winning field goal, then I sometimes shut my eyes. But
well, congratulations. Congratulations to you and your brothers and your dad posthumously. And thank you all for being the biggest cheerleaders for the city of New Orleans, because God forbid, we need all the cheerleaders we can get, right?
Well, that's what New Orleans and Company does best. We represent our city, and we are proud to do so.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Romig family. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Got a number of texts asking when we're going to be able to, you that is, able to comment on my monologue this morning. We're going to go to the talk lines at 11:30. And we apologize for, you know, kind of not aligning all of this, but certain guests are only available at certain times, and we really want to get them on to talk about all of the topics that impact the city, the state, and international topics as well, trying to satisfy your appetite for news and breaking issues that exist around the world, this country, the state, and of course this region. And WWL also wants you to win tickets to TripAdvisor's number one attraction in New Orleans, the National World War II Museum. Today's the last day you can register to win a family four-pack at WWL.com/contest. And that's not all. From now until September 1st, general admission tickets are 50% off for Louisiana residents at the World War II Museum. You can't beat that, folks. That is a value. Trust me when I tell you, the most incredible museum. We should be incredibly proud of the work that they do there. And it's always changing. There's always something new that they're making available to you, tidbits about certain things. And there's so many still unique and incredible stories to be told about the vets, the men and women that work so hard to make our country what it is today and the sacrifices that they made. And they do a beautiful job of remembering those sacrifices made during World War II, right there at the National World War II Museum, and WWL partnering up for this great offer. So take advantage of it today. We'll be right back.